Dancing on the bar, stomp your feet, start clapping. Got a real good feeling, something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Brumleave.
Yeah, as I was just telling Lauren, I think I've watched that video about 10 times. I think it's fantastic. I don't know what I've watched more, the video of you making national TV, being that Jaguar fan going nuts in the crowd, or the nostalgia-wise, that was really great to see. But at halftime, there was a lot of disappointment and anger. I think there were a lot of fans that had their pitchforks ready. Yeah, things ended up turning around. But before we get to the game, I want to know, how was everyone's Thanksgiving?
Mine was fantastic. I had family come up from South Florida, and we celebrated Wednesday night. Then I went to Pete's Thursday morning and saw a bunch of friends, including a friend of mine whose birthday is today. So if he's listening, happy birthday, Lee. In addition, happy birthday to my dad. In addition, happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday to my dad, whose birthday is tomorrow.
Had to get those out of the way. But went to Pete's Thursday morning, had a blast, and then went back to my parents' house, had family over, including the youngest is 16 and the oldest is 93. So we celebrated a lot.
Solid.
And we had a great time. Good food, good fun family time.
Was little man feeling okay for Thanksgiving?
Little man, whatever he had Tuesday, which is why I wasn't with you guys Tuesday for the J Fund, he spread it throughout the household.
Oh, no.
So Wednesday, I was the lucky recipient. And then Thursday through the weekend was TJ. So it was not so much of a fun Thanksgiving, but everybody is happy now.
Now you're thankful for your health.
Yeah. pumpkin pie is being spread around now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm
so
glad.
At least you're one of the few still enjoying leftovers.
Yes. Yes.
I'm glad it didn't go to waste.
What about you, Blythe? What did you do for Thanksgiving? I have a huge family, for those that don't know. And so we have a ton of family members over. It was at least 25 people in the house. Everybody brought something to eat. It was just an all-day sort of celebration. And then over the weekend, we did some shopping. I went to Christmas in the South. I spent $100 on grits and jams and jellies. And
that is awesome. And why were those not brought in here tonight?
Because I'm hoarding them.
I'm expecting a Christmas gift this year.
Shoot.
In the form of jam.
Grits.
Jessica, how about your Thanksgiving?
It was food. It was football. It was pretty much a perfect day. That's really all I want to do on Thanksgiving. I want to give thanks, obviously. But then I want to eat, and then I want to watch some football.
Those Saturday games.
And that's pretty much it.
My mom prayed, you know, as we do a lot, and said, thankful for family and friends, and I threw in football. And I was like, wait, is that awkward? But I really am thankful for football. You can sometimes get to this point in the season and go, oh, we still have so many more games left. And I get to this point in the season, and I think, especially for college football, oh, my gosh, it's almost over. From Florida last year, of course, it was over. And for Jaguars, y'all, we only have one Sunday home game left. Our other one is Thursday night. So only one Sunday, 1 o'clock game. That's it.
It goes so quick.
I think I'm going to cry that 4 o'clock, when 4 o'clock rolls around on Sunday.
I know it's going to be sad, but we can't be sad right now because we had a win in the bank on Sunday.
Oh, we locked it down.
It was awesome.
Only in the second half.
Yeah. Okay. The first half was a little rough. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was completely one of those people that had thrown in the towel and said, okay, this is going to be a struggle. Odell Beckham Jr. is going nuts. Eli's playing pretty well. Jags ran three offensive plays in the first quarter. They had a three and out in the first quarter. That was it. The Giants had like a 9-plus minute drive to end the quarter. It was crazy. Just the time of possession, the yards. At one point, who was I talking to that mentioned Eli had more pass attempts than the Jags had plays run or yards or something like that. I mean, it was just ridiculous. So you go into the half and you're just like, aw, man.
There was draft talk around me. You know, people are giving up.
And then they come out in the second half and they just go crazy.
21 points on their 21st birthday.
Unbelievable. So, okay. All right, ladies, looking at this game on Sunday, let's just go around real quick. And what stood out to each one of you. How were the Jags able to get a win? What impressed you?
Defensively, I was stunned that we got the two turnovers that turned into touchdowns. The defensive line played out of their minds in that second half, and I was just so proud. I had said today on Jaguars Today, I always have a special place in my heart for the guys, the players that join us on Helmets and Heels, because I feel like we get to know them a little bit better than any of the other guys, even though we've sometimes talked to them too. But Cindric Marks, we just had him on the show at Boston's a couple weeks ago, and he just was fantastic. And then, of course, when Aaron Colvin had the scoop and score, I don't know why I feel like it's my place to tell everyone around me the Aaron Colvin story every time his name gets mentioned, but I always do. I always say, you know, he tore his ACL in the Senior Bowl, and Gus believed in him, and Gus saw it through, and he just made his first start last week, and that's his first defensive touchdown. And, you know, everyone around me is probably like, okay, we listened to the radio station, and we know everything that you know.
Well, and Gus talked about that yesterday, how genuine that excitement was on the sidelines, because the players have seen it. You know, some guys have setbacks like a hamstring and get frustrated and their spirit gets a little broken. But
sure,
look at everything Aaron Colvin has battled through. And then to have a game like that, I mean, it was genuine joy from his teammates after making that play.
Right. And Marquise Lee obviously had a phenomenal game. We've been waiting for that. And then the offensive line, I didn't think played that well, but I was impressed that Josh Wells was able to kind of step in and, after Austin Pastore's injury and kind of play a pretty good game for the most part in the second half.
I mean, for me, it obviously was all about halftime in the second half. So whatever the speech was said at halftime, that's the MVP of that game. Because whatever turned it around, I mean, Bortles actually being the leading rusher for the game alone is impressive, and him having a clean game. And like you said, Lauren, Marquise Lee, it's the little things that actually stepped up and worked that haven't been working all season. So I was very impressed by that.
And that just to kind of piggyback off that, because whatever Gus said at halftime, I would love to be a fly on the wall.
And he said there was no yelling.
And I think that speaks a little bit of credit. I know that Gus and his coaching staff has gotten a little bit of backlash over the past few weeks, but he has his guys fighting, and they have been fighting in every single game. And for a lot of fans that thought that game was over on Sunday, whatever he said, they had him coming back. And to see Scobie, too, hit that game winner, that was always
really nice. Yeah, because I mean, it's been a rough season for special teams and for Scobie, and he was on Jaguars Today Monday talking about that play and redeeming the kick from Tennessee and getting another chance. And yeah, that was a great moment. But I think some of the things that really stood out to me, and I mentioned this earlier today on the Frangie show, was you finally got a complete game from all three units. I don't think we've really seen a complete game yet this season. The offense would maybe have a game where they played well, but the defense would give up a ridiculous number of points. All right, well, then the defense finally figures it out, and the offense can't drive down the field. Special teams miscues. Whatever it was, it felt like this team was still waiting to put a complete game together, and you got contributions from all three units. The kick from Scobie, the offense getting a spark in that second half, the defense just shutting down whatever the Giants were trying to do in that second half, forcing those turnovers, winning that turnover battle, I think, was huge. That's something that Coach Babich has talked about being the next step for this defense, is forcing more turnovers. And I loved seeing Bortles use his legs, you know, whether that was on the read option, whether that was maybe a play breaking down and Bortles just deciding to scramble, whatever it was, it worked. And, you know, we haven't really seen Bortles run it himself a lot. We saw that earlier in the season and it worked, but we hadn't really seen it in a while. But just the offense being creative, whether it was the Wildcat with Denard, whether it was Bortles scrambling, you know, whatever it was, finally seeing something work and provide a spark and get going. And I think a huge thing for Bortles and just getting him some confidence back was taking care of the ball. This was the first game in a while that this offense and Bortles had not thrown an interception.
You know, that's one of the questions I have. Because him scrambling so much, was that just purely on him? Was that the play, you know, how that was going to react? What happened? Why did he feel so much more comfortable in this game and was able to, you know, have a have a game like he did.
He didn't want to get sacked again.
I know, right? You know, you don't want to have that either. But I just wonder, was he just all of a sudden more comfortable? Was the game plan for him to just, you know what, if whatever you see, go with, you know, we'll put it in your hands.
I would think some of them were designed runs. And, you know, Bortles will talk to the media tomorrow, and that's something that I can definitely ask him about. You know, were those more designed runs? Mm-hmm. Was it a breakdown and you just felt comfortable running with it? You saw that it was there. I mean, because those were some big gains.
Yes.
They were not just 5-6 yards. I mean, I think one of them was 29 yards. One of them was 30 yards, something like that. So, I mean, they were significant plays. But, yeah, I'm sure that some of it was probably part of design runs, maybe one or two, maybe they were breakdowns. But, mm-hmm. but yeah, that was a concern, though. Of all the positives that came out of Sunday, 7 sacks. I mean, the Jaguars have given up a league-high 50 sacks this season. That is...
It's going to be a franchise record,
I think. That is ridiculous.
At one point, it was a franchise record.
3 sacks in 1 drive.
3 sacks in 1 drive.
How do you let that happen? I mean, I know I don't play offensive line, but that's your job, dude.
You're not also facing Pierre Paul every day.
True,
so.
And I remember in the pregame on Sunday, I asked somebody if they wanted to join me on the radio, because I walk up to random people and say, hey, would you like to do a radio interview? And I get turned down a lot because people are just trying to enjoy their tailgates. But this one person was like, well, what are you going to ask me? And I said, how many sacks Jason Pierre-Paul is going to get? And they were like, today? Oh, God, it's going to be a lot. And I was like, oh, gosh, that person predicted
it. The Giants are known for this. The Giants are known for their pass rushing. So, I mean, 7, that's low if you want to think that's good. You know, you don't want 10 or above, obviously. You don't want any. But for the Giants, with what they're known for their pass rushing, I'm okay with 7.
Yeah, I think I just want to see a little bit more as far as protection. You know, there's been a lot of breakdowns on that offensive line, in particular on that left side. And that's why I specifically asked Gus yesterday about Luke Jokel.
Are you the one? Okay.
I am. Guilty. Because I just wanted to know, in particular, you know, him missing a majority of last year. I think it was, what, 4 or 5 games
four.
Into the season. Yeah, 4 games. It was the first game that he had been moved over to left tackle, mm-hmm. by the way. He had played right tackle those first 3, and then Eugene Monroe gets traded to Baltimore. It's the first game that you've got Luke Jokel in at left tackle. So he really didn't have a chance last season at all to play left tackle. How much, you know, did missing a majority of last season, how much has that contributed to maybe some of the struggles this year? And, you know, it's not all on Luke Jokel. There's things all along the offensive line. And even Gus mentioned, you know, some of the plays Blake held onto the ball too long. Some of them, Denard Robinson did not pick up on the blitz. I mean, there were a couple of different factors, but it just really seemed like the left side, in particular, Jokel got pushed around quite a bit. So,
well, and Jeff Logman was on our show today, as he is every Tuesday, and he talked about what needs to change for Jokel, and he needs to get more physical is what he said, that he needs to gain probably 10 to 15 pounds come next year of muscle, and that way he'll, you know, solidify that, because he is really athletic, but he's getting pushed around a little bit.
And to go back to Luke Jokel for a minute, their Pro Football Focus, they do analysis on every single game for every team in the NFL. They only credited one of those sacks, one of the 7, to Luke Jokel. So
yeah.
That's a little bit. I mean, I know he's getting roasted.
Gus said, I think 1.5. Yeah, exactly.
So, one of those are on Denard, one of those are on Blake, and then the rest of the line, they are very young. And
yeah.
That's the only thing you can do is just be patient. The offensive line is one of the few things in football that you cannot address in free agency. And if you do, you still have to wait for them to gel. And it's just one of those things that they're young guys. You just have to wait.
Yeah. All right. Well, when we do return on Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers, let's switch it up and get to the defense, in particular, Sendarek Marks, who is having a Pro Bowl type year. What other Jaguars do we feel like the arrow is pointing up? Also coming up later in the show, we're going to take a look at the Jaguars' remaining games and give you a prediction of how many of those we feel like they realistically have a chance to win. That's all coming up when we do return. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. Hope you are all enjoying your Tuesday evening. We are, because it's Victory Week. It's not just Victory Monday, ladies. I'm proclaiming this victory week for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I was going to say, it's Victory Tuesday.
It is Victory Tuesday.
It is Victory Tuesday. And if you remember, we were minus you, Donna, but last Tuesday, we were trying to raise some money for the Tom Coughlin J Fund, and the station raised over $73,000. I think the final numbers might have been actually even over $74,000 in
that
one day.
Amazing.
Just touches your heart that. And I talked, I know I talked to several people, you know, as I'm out and about in the parking lot, and said, you know, if you gave money last week, I would, you know, just want to say thank you on behalf of the station. And almost everyone I talked to said that they cannot listen to that show and not donate. So phenomenal job. Victory Tuesday and Victory for the
That's
TCJ
real
fund.
Victory
exactly.
Tuesday right there. And thank
Kid
you to everyone
cancer.
Who donated. No matter what the amount was, any donation helped. And that's awesome. That is awesome. Also, Donna, the playoff committee just released
their top four. Yep. Top two stay the same. It goes Alabama 1, Oregon 2. However, now TCU has moved all the way up to number 3, while FSU has fallen to 4.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, we're getting
some disagreement on that. We might be digressing from the NFL for a few minutes, but Blythe, you're not happy that an undefeated Florida State team is ranked 4th.
I'm a little old school. They haven't lost a game in over 2 years. Why did they continue to drop? Don't give me this lack of schedule garbage whenever the ACC swept the SEC on Saturday and all those big games. I mean, it's just... Do wins and losses not matter anymore? And I know that's what college football is all
committee.
About. And you know, now we have a committee voting on the same, pretty much the same things that the computer generated last year. So it's the 14 playoff is a joke. It'll go to 18s next year, hopefully.
Well, I'm sure that guys like Geno Smith and Telvin would. Or I'm sorry, Geno Hayes and Telvin Smith.
I was
agree.
Gonna say Geno Smith
doesn't. Yeah, whatever.
He's in West Virginia, I was trying to figure that one out.
Yeah. Geno Hayes and Telvin Smith would agree with you there. Of course, two Jaguars that went to Florida State and they play on the defensive side of the ball. Which, speaking of the defense, they were lights out in that second half this past Sunday. Again, Cedric Marks. Let's key in on him for just a second, because he is having a Pro Bowl type of year. Had, again, some big plays this past Sunday. How impressive, in your opinion, has Cedric been this season?
Well, I think if you saw the NFL highlight video that Blaylock said she saw about 10 times earlier today, that
big
was,
play.
Yeah.
Huge play.
That would show you how I feel about Cedric and his get off. I love that phrase in football. He literally is so explosive from the line that it is just astounding to watch. And he told us that night at Boston's that he is also a really good basketball player. And I kind of gave him a look like, come on, Cedric.
Come on, Sean Darius.
Yeah, exactly. You're a big football lineman. And he said, if you don't believe me, ask Tad, you know, one of the Jags PR staff, and who played basketball in college. So I was like, well, if he says that, then I do believe it. So that type of athleticism is almost unheard of, I feel like, for a defensive lineman. I mean, the combination of his size and his speed and his, you can tell how motivated he is. His not just ability, but his want, you know, to be the best possible player he can be. I can't stop raving about him.
I mean, it's impressive what he's done. I mean, you have 35 tackles, which isn't very high for the team alone, for that alone, but 7 sacks on the season. That's awesome. That's, what do we have, 7 sacks total a couple of years ago? It's just sad, but it's so impressive that they're finally seeing this kind of performance come out of this defense that they have pieced together.
Well, and that's one thing the Jags had really been looking for the past couple of years was guys to put pressure on the quarterback, guys to clog up the middle. And this defensive line, I mean, Blythe, you look at how many pieces they added. Cedric obviously was not added this past year, but the year before. But getting plays from guys like Cedric, Chris Clemens,
Ryan Davis.
I mean, other guys that they have put those pieces in place, and that depth along the defensive line is really paying off this season.
What is it? What are they calling themselves? The Hit Squad, right? There's 5 or 6 of them that all call themselves the Hit Squad.
And I want a cool nickname like that.
Know,
yeah,
right?
I'm part of the Hit Squad.
They have
squad.
Their own Twitter handle, I think, too, which is a little crazy. I don't know who monitors that, but Cedric Marks, he was, I think, the second best defensive player in the AFC this past week. That should. I would think his performance so far this year should get him to the Pro Bowl, but being in a small market like the Jaguars, I don't know if that's going to happen. Hopefully it does, though.
Hopefully it does, because he definitely deserves it. And another cool thing that Gus pointed out yesterday when talking about Sendarik Marks is, you know, I think there was a lot of speculation from fans whether Terrence Knighton was worth letting him walk. I mean, he's obviously been great for Denver, you know, reunited with Jack Del Rio over with the Broncos. But I think people thought Terrence Knighton was a solid player and wanted to keep him around. Well, you let Terrence Knighton walk. You bring in Sendarik Marks to essentially play that position, and he was fantastic. So you give him a new deal. And he's been, and Gus made this point, it's so spot on. He's been even better this year than he was last year. You know, you give him a deal. Some guys, it's so easy to just say, okay, I've got my money. No big deal. I'm just going to do whatever. But Sendarik has continued to perform well, continued to challenge himself.
In football and in Clash of Clans.
and the results are showing up out on the field.
I downloaded that game, by the way, and I deleted it within a half hour.
He showed me the next day in the locker room how to play it. I mean, I was literally getting a Clash of Clans tutorial from Sendarik Marks by the ping pong table over by all the lockers where the defensive line is. It was great. It was fantastic. Now, I did not sign up for the game, though.
Smart.
And I deleted it already.
When it was that exciting, Jessica, and you're in the press box and no cheering is allowed, what do you do? Because I know you love this team just as much as all of us, but you're not able to cheer. What do you do?
I send out tweets instead to convey my emotions about what I'm feeling. Like in the first half, it was terrible. So I found a picture of Michael Scott from The Office saying, I don't hate it. I just don't like it at all. And it's terrible. And I tweeted that out saying that's how I felt. And then in the second half, when the Jags, I think it was after the defense scored one of their touchdowns and it actually became pretty close, I tweeted out a picture from Wayne's World that said, game on. and then, yeah, so I just go to Twitter and let all of my emotions out that way because, yeah, technically no cheering in the press box. That.
Wasn't it the Colts that always broke that? Was it the Colts?
Probably.
Titans, maybe. Someone always broke that rule.
Probably the Titans.
And you always heard them.
It would be those Titans.
Oh, you always heard them. It was awful. All
right, Every time the Titans get mentioned, Blythe, I think it's like sick to her stomach.
Scowl on my face.
All right, well, we know Sendarik is having a great season, a Pro Bowl-type season. What other players, in your opinion, is that arrow really starting to point up?
Well, I'm going to say Aaron Colvin, even though we already talked about him before. I am so excited by what he is bringing to this team and how soon he's bringing it after being injured throughout all of training camp, throughout all of the first few games of the season, the first half of the season. Aaron Colvin, if you're, you know, listening, I've gotten so many texts and tweets on him, too, that everyone is just so proud of him. You know, you feel like he's like your little brother that you saw go through this. So I'm really excited about Aaron. Donna?
I'm going to actually go with Telvin Smith.
Nice.
You know, I know that the linebacker core is not as stellar as they want it to be, but he has really been a bright star in that little section right there. And, you know, you're not too sure what you're going to get with someone, you know, in such a low draft stock, you know, I guess you could call it. But Smith has really stepped it up. I mean, 63 tackles, you know, he has 2 sacks in the season. It's just an interception. And, yeah, his performance this year has made me really feel upbeat about what the linebacker core could actually look like.
I think for me it's been the Robinson boys, Allen Robinson and Denard. The offense was a big question mark coming into this from the offseason into the season. And to see Allen Robinson step up, obviously he's out for the year, but just to see a late-round draft pick sort of shine in the spotlight and really be sort of the go-to guy for a rookie quarterback, that's really been awesome to see. And then Denard Robinson as well, he, with the exception of last week, he's been one of the best running backs in the league.
I agree. I think that those are all good choices. You hate that Allen Robinson got hurt because he really was finding his groove, even though he only had one touchdown on the season. I mean, he was making plays. He became a target for Blake, who I think Blake was really comfortable with. Telvin Smith, so athletic. I mean, so athletic. We talk all the time about how he's got the build basically of a corner. He's just tall and
lanky.
But he gets it done. And I think his speed and his athleticism,
his football IQ.
Yeah, it really, it's okay his size. He still makes plays.
Aaron, I forgot Coleman, to mention Demetrius McCray, too. He's having a great
season. And that's what I was going to say. Seeing some of those young corners and some of those young safeties step up and make plays, I mean, that's another position. I mean, secondary, that's got a lot of youth in it, too. We talk about all the youth on the offense, but the secondary has a ton of youth in it as well.
Eli Manning actually looked away from McCray for most of the game. I mean, that's really impressive.
Yeah, no, and guys have really stepped up left and right. I'll say Arrow's finally starting to point up for me with Marquise Lee, who's had so many struggles this season. And, you know, playing time and number of plays that he was out on the field and you didn't really know what was going on, if he just wasn't getting it, if there were some other issues. You know, he was kind of odd man out for a little while there, and he showed up this past Sunday. Obviously, the 30-yard touchdown reception from Blake. I wasn't sure if Marquise Lee was coming back out of that corner, that little tunnel.
Yeah, I was like, where is he? Do they need a sign? Like Forrest Gump?
Yes, I'm not even kidding. I thought the same thing. I thought of the scene from Forrest Gump when he just keeps running, because I was like, Marquise Lee has been in that tunnel for a while. I hope he's not like lying on the ground hurt. And then he finally comes back out. I'm like, okay, we're good here now. But
how about Luke Bowenko too, the center? I mean, to not probably expect to start, and really we hear a lot about the offensive line in general, but we don't hear a lot about him, and we don't see a lot of high snaps or botched snaps. He's impressed me too.
And that is one of the best. I remember someone saying this to me. That's how you know you've got a good lineman, when you don't hear their number called, because that means they're not committing penalties. They're not giving up the big plays. You almost want your linemen to be silent. You don't want to really hear from them. That's how you know that they're having a pretty consistent game. But it's harder for me just because I don't have that type of eye for the game to really break down. I mean, I can tell if Luke Jokel got blown up on a play. I mean, you can go back and see things like that. But overall consistency of the offensive line, it's a little harder for me to maybe grade those guys out. But
can you tell a good fist pump?
Yeah. Yes. I can totally.
Do you have the eye for that?
Especially when it's on national television by our own Lauren Brooks. That was an awesome fist pump.
Have you guys seen this video?
I'm Googling it now.
Oh, okay.
Arrow is going up for Lauren Brooks.
It's ridiculously funny.
No, we're going to, okay.
I look ridiculous.
We're going to all watch this.
Okay.
Once again. Like I said, I've seen it multiple times. But, as far as Helmets and Heels girls, Arrow pointing up on Lauren Brooks.
I must say, I was really flattered by how many people were like, I thought that was you on TV. I'm like, I have sunglasses on. How on earth could you tell?
Who tweeted out she's drinking water? Yeah. That was my favorite part. She's drinking water, folks. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
It's all good.
Yeah, I think that was Chad.
All right, when we do return on Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers, we're going to take a look at the remaining games on the Jaguars' schedules. Which ones do we think that they can win? Obviously, spoiler alert, I'm going to say all of them. We'll get more of a realistic idea from the other ladies. That's all coming up next.
Girls just want to talk football. More Helmets and Heels now on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Oh, just having a good laugh during the break. And we had the opportunity to watch your national television debut once again. I think that makes 12 for me now.
Yes, it was glorious, sure. I would like to have maybe been, I don't know, like clapping or doing something somewhat normal instead of fist pumping.
No, I think that makes it even better.
I think fist pumping at a sporting event would fall under the normal category.
The best
when
is,
else
though,
is fist pumping appropriate besides a concert and a sporting event?
Well, and that's why I kind of asked
a miniature golf course
what you do in the press box, because I wondered if you kind of do some silent jabs and fist
pumping, or is that
like that?
That looks like karate chops.
It does. I don't involuntary
movements out of your right arm in the press box.
Oh, okay. You know what does make me want to fist pump? The fact that Blythe just said Jaguars can win 3 out of their next 4 games.
sweep the Texans. We murder the Titans, ruin their Christmas.
Literally.
And then we lose to the Ravens because the Ravens are fighting for a playoff spot. So I don't think we win that game.
So are Houston.
They're not.
Houston is. That's why I want Jacksonville to turn into, just for the last four games, the St. Louis Rams of what they have been doing the last few games. I want them to be like, you know what?
Play
screw it.
I want them
anywhere.
To be the team 52-0.
Yeah.
I would love to see a 52-0 final.
Just an easy game where you know you're going to win the whole time. When was the last time we had a game like that?
I'm trying to remember. When we beat Cleveland, I mean, it was by a pretty wide margin. I think we were pretty confident for most of that game, at least the second half. But, yeah, to where stress we were free? Up 21-0 or something? No, I don't remember that.
Aw, sports is only fun if it takes years off your life.
Like all Florida State fans have to go through.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, let's take a look at these final four games. Of course, the Jaguars will host the Texans this Sunday. They will then travel to Baltimore. Then it is that Thursday night matchup at home with Tennessee, and then they will finish the season on the road once again in Houston, taking on the Texans. So, ladies, all right, seriously, two with Houston, one with Tennessee, so three AFC South matchups, and then a matchup with Baltimore on the road. Baltimore, to me, does look like the one game that's probably going to be tough because it is on the road. I'm glad that they're not facing Baltimore this week with the Ravens coming off of, obviously, that heartbreaking loss to San Diego where the Chargers ended up scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter to beat Baltimore by a point, but that's still going to be a tough one. But first, let's take a look at this Sunday's matchup. How much does it help that it's at home? How much does it help that the Jaguars are riding some momentum off of that win over the Giants? What are some of the factors that either makes this a winnable game or some of the factors that might make it a bit more of a challenge?
Well, the obvious challenge is J.J. Watt and figuring out what to do with him. But the fact that I think the Jags...
Don't let him get in the end zone. Jesus, on all not let him score.
Yeah. Well... Yeah, I feel like he's so good that you're never going to be able to completely shut him down or make his presence not felt. But at the same time, the Jags now have some tricks on display, right? So the Texans defense is going to have to try and figure out, do they want to sell out to stop Blake's running? Do they want to, you know, go more for the deep threat with Marquise Lee? You know, are they going to try and double Marquise Lee up? There's some new elements and wrinkles here that I do think it's a little bit different than had we just come off of the 3 points that we scored the week before to the Colts. So I think it's absolutely winnable. The fans, it will be the second to last home game for these fans. These fans absolutely love this team no matter what's happening. And yeah, we can win.
You know, with it being at home, I would say, yeah, that's a huge advantage. But the last time we were at home two games in a row, we beat Cleveland and we lost to Miami. So I'd throw that out the window.
And the Jaguars last
Dang
season.
It, Donna.
I know this is a different team, but the Jaguars last season were actually a better team on the road than they were at home.
Because we're not booing them.
Well, when heard that this was the first time we've won two games since 2011 when I read the final game notes Sunday.
Two games at home.
That's Is that not what I said?
Yeah, the first time that they'd won
two games at home. Yeah, since 2011. I was shocked to think it's been that long. Good God, that's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can do it. I'm staying optimistic.
You know, Houston, despite what Lauren thinks, Houston is still in a battle for the playoffs, you know. I think so. If you can shut them down this game, I don't know about the last game of the season. One of the games, I see them taking down Houston. I do. If they're out of the playoff race, then it's the last game of the season. Baltimore, you're going to be lucky if you come out of that game without an injury, okay? Especially with them in the playoffs. You'll be lucky because they are mean. Mean. That's all I could say about Baltimore. And Tennessee, I think... I don't want to say that's a shoe-in, because no one would have said New York was a shoe-in.
They've been a disaster, too.
Yeah, I would go with 2 out of 2 for the last one.
The thing that concerns me, though, Blythe, with Houston is the line of scrimmage. It really, really, I think, is going to be a battle, because our offensive line has struggled at times. Again, coming off a game where they give up 7 sacks, you do have J.J. Watt, who is having an incredible year. He's going to get to the quarterback no matter what. In my opinion, if they're going to beat Houston, they've got to do it at the line of scrimmage.
I think you're exactly right. Like what you guys said earlier about Luke Jokel, he's going to get manhandled that game, and it's going to be up to him to sort of step up. And I mean, we swept the Texans last year when they had J.J. Watt, so I kind of figured that maybe we can do it again this year. Was it Ryan Fitzpatrick? He had a career day this past Sunday.
Six touchdowns. That's a franchise record. Six touchdowns.
He's not going to do that again.
No way.
Especially against the Jags defense. I mean, doing that against the Titans is one thing, but doing it against the Jags defense is completely
other. We pride ourselves on defense around here.
Well, I think so. If I'm picking this Sunday, I really do think this is one that the Jaguars can get. Baltimore, it's all about the run. They can rush the ball and they can stop the run. That is going to be, I think, the biggest challenge for the Jaguars in their remaining schedule. And having to play that game on the road is just going to be tough.
I'm a realist here. We're not beating the Ravens. We're not there yet. I'd like for us to win that game, but it's probably not going to happen. I realistically think that we'll win 3 out of 4.
Only way we win that game is if it happens like it was, what was it, the Thursday night game, 2 years ago when we won like 9-3 or something like that, 6-0, one of those like soccer scores, then maybe we can beat the Ravens if Joe Flacco goes down.
All right, Tennessee, that's a game that all of us feel pretty good about.
Well,
Tennessee
plus it's
is
Thursday
sitting
at
home.
Yeah.
We were only a field goal away from beating them last time. I think Scobie really wanted that kick, so I think this game.
Which would have been impressive because that was, what, a 55-yard attempt? But hey, if anybody's going to make it, it's going to be Josh.
And he admitted yesterday that he kicked it low, and somewhat intentionally too. But that Tuesday night, as a reminder to everyone, we will be live at Zeta at the beach, right in Jacksonville Beach. That is December 16th, Tuesday night. We'll be there from 7 until 9 p.m. So come on out and hang out with us. We don't know which player is going to join us yet, but we'll have some young gun, I'm presuming, since most of our players are young.
Since most of our players are still not old enough to legally rent a car.
Exactly.
Okay, Tennessee, my goodness, they've been a disaster too. I mean, they start out the season with a win over Kansas City and then go on to lose 4 straight. They get the win against Jacksonville earlier this season by blocking that late field goal attempt.
Lucky.
But then go on to lose the next, 6, 7 straight. They're facing the Giants this Sunday. Giants obviously coming off of the tough loss to Jacksonville.
I bet that's a pick 'em. Donna, you're our spread person.
I think Jacksonville will be favored in that one.
Oh, sorry, I meant the Texans and the Giants.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, the Giants and Titans? That game?
Don't you think that would be a pick 'em?
It's a 1.5.
All right.
Going in favor of Tennessee.
All right.
Really?
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but
that's
the Titans,
what happens when you lose.
I mean, at least the Jaguars are on the way up. The Titans are just stagnant. They don't really have a clue, I think.
Yeah, they just got a lot of issues that they've got to figure out. I mean, is the question mark at quarterback, is that answered now with Mettenberger? I mean, what's going on? Tennessee
it's
is a mess. It is a mess.
I'm okay with that.
But yeah, and I agree. Jacksonville is on the way up. So, and then finally ending the season at Houston. I think no matter what, if you're on the road, it's always a bit of a challenge. And like you said, Donna, the Texans may be out of it.
Mm-hmm.
There still may be a little bit of an opportunity. That one, I feel like I could see going either way.
You know, I'll be interested to see or hear from you even if during practice this week, if they're doing the tennis racket practice for Bortles. Because we always hear about, you know, J.J. Watt, the only easy way is to everybody
batten
hold up
down,
tennis rackets.
Right.
You know, you got to throw over them. You got to get that coverage set. So
passes, yeah. So, but again, looking at these last 4 games... versus Houston at home this Sunday, at Baltimore, versus Tennessee at Houston. I would say...
You know you want to say 4-0.
Well, obviously, I say 4 out of 4.
You're picking us to beat Baltimore.
You know what? I believe in victory. I believe in victory. Okay, 4 out of 4. Done.
All right. Well, our picks, as always, are brought to you by Kitchen Foreign Concepts, who will be putting that night at Zeta on for us. We're so appreciative of that.
They're going to be out there, right?
Absolutely. Everybody who has not gotten to meet them yet will get to meet them. I'm going to go 2 out of 4. I'm going to say realistically, either we win. I'll say we win this Sunday, and then we win the Thursday nighter. I'm picking both home games to win.
Like two out of four. Yep. Dean Murph, that's what you're saying. Two out of four.
I'm saying three out of four.
Three out of four. Okay. So let's
she
say
she has a sweep in Houston.
Right? All right. Let's say
we did it last year. We can do it again.
If they do go two out of four, puts their record at the same place it was last year, 4-12. But do you feel good about where the team is if you're sitting at 4-12 when the season ends?
Yes. We didn't have a quarterback last year. What's the most important position in the NFL? Quarterback. So for me, that is the defining thing of the major difference. Yes, there's some other areas where we've improved as well, but for me, that's the number one thing.
Yeah, I agree. You don't have issues like you don't have issues like your coach could be fired. You don't know who your quarterback's going to be, a.k.a. looking like the Jets. You don't have Oakland issues. It's I'm happy with how Jacksonville is.
Like I said earlier, this organization is on the up. And they are only points up for every position, I think, on the field. And I know that they are going to probably address some stuff. They have a lot of cap room in the offseason where we can only get better. So,
and a lot of the players that they brought in this season are on very manageable contracts. Mm-hmm. If you end up going in a different direction, it's very easy to do that. They will be able to spend money, like you said, Blythe, during the offseason. These players that are rookies are obviously going to have that rookie season under their belt going into their second year. There's going to be so much growth there. I think Arrow points up. If the Jags are sitting at 4-12 again this year, of course people want to see improvement. I said at the very beginning of the season, I didn't think signs of improvement was necessarily going to be reflected in the wins-loss column or a final record. I think it was really more, were you getting better? There were obviously times this season where this team has taken a step back, but there have been a lot of different areas where they have gotten better, in particular on the defensive side of the ball. The offense has been a little stagnant in the past few weeks. But again, looking at all of that youth on the offense, having a rookie quarterback, you knew you were going to go through some growing pains. You just didn't see them until really halfway through the season. So I'd be okay with that. Totally agree. Arrow pointing up. All right. When we do return, we will pick this weekend's game. We will also pick the Baltimore Dolphins game because that will be Jacksonville's next opponent after Houston. And we'll give you score predictions. It looks like you already kind of know which way we're leaning versus the Texans at home, but we'll give you score predictions and what we think we're going to see out of it. We'll also check in with Fat Tony. That's all coming up next on Helmets and Heels brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.